The rest of the story. Entertainment critic Dorothy Thompson was aghast. In all of her years on the New York Herald Tribune, she had never encountered such a revolting production, either on screen or on stage. For an hour or two, she considered the possibility of ignoring it altogether. Perhaps it would be better to let the dreadful thing consume itself in its own ugliness, she thought. But then, recalling her responsibility to her readers, Dorothy wedged herself into the chair in front of the typewriter and forced herself to relive her agony. Quote, "I left the theater in a condition bordering on nervous breakdown," she began. Quote, "I felt as though I had been subjected to an assault." Quote, "A brutalization of sensibility. A remarkable nightmare." She related the production that she had witnessed to the collapse of the civilized world. She identified it as a social symptom of the degenerate times. And Dorothy Thompson was not alone in her opinion. Indeed, a great many critics hastened to add their own poisonous prose to the ever-lengthening epitaph. Needless to say, what we are discussing here is an incredible failure, an experiment that blew up in its own face. The true measure of its self-destruction was its popular rejection and the consequent plunging of its hapless producer deep into debt. The history of the entertainment industry is littered with a lot of box office disasters, so why are we discussing this one more? Well, let's hear the rest of the story. The producer of this debacle had put all of his mind and heart and hopes into the project. The name of his Radical Departure motion picture was innocent-sounding enough. He called it the Concert Feature. As far as the film's backers were concerned, it was the Philharmonic from Hell. In fact, the picture very nearly did not debut at all. Scheduled to open November 13 at New York's Broadway Theater, a union squabble erupted. Not one, but two unions arguing over the installation of special equipment. The producer begged investors to give him more time to prepare. It was now or never, they said. Well, afterward, when it became clear that they had a flop on their hands, backers urged that the movie be cut by more than a fourth, from 2 hours to less than 90 minutes, so they cut the film. Not even that helped. And thus did almost $3 million slide down the drain. And that was an amazing amount for a motion picture in those days. And so predictably did the producer promise to stick to what he knew best. Traditional tales. A pretty young girl's in peril. Pretty young girls like Snow White and Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. That's right. The movie producer whose career almost ended with a crash in 1940 was Walt Disney. But he redeemed himself with a succession of conventional fairy tales, though he never lived to see the day, and that day did come, when the experiment, some called an atrocity, would be released nationwide, and then to be hailed as an unmitigated masterpiece. This holiday season, right now, between Halloween and Christmas in 1990, the once denigrated motion picture is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and it's celebrating before a throng of record audiences. By now, perhaps you've guessed, the magical production once tentatively entitled The Concert Feature is now seen by its enduring name, Fantasia. And now you know the rest of the story.